The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus began to teach his disciples that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said this all quite openly. And Jesus took him aside, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then he called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in glory with his Father, with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
So I have a couple pictures to show you, and they are related, all right? And this is the third service I've done with these pictures this weekend, and I've gotten some interesting ideas as to how the two are related, all right? So the first one, and I will hold this up and I'll also describe it at the same time. It's a mouse trap with a piece of cheese on it with a sign that says, "Free cheese." All right? Okay. And then the second one, from what you can see from afar, what do you see, Dave, since you're right there? What words do you see?
Free beer.
Free beer. That's right. And what you don't really see are two other words. Right under "free" is Wi-Fi in small print. And then right above the beer is "great." So really it's free Wi-Fi, great beer. But that's not how they're going to lure people in, right? With a sign, especially on a college campus. You can get Wi-Fi anywhere, but free beer? I want to know about that. So these two are related. Other than food, how are they related? What's that? They're free. That's one way that they're related, absolutely. Nothing is ever as it first appears. Yep, what's that? Patty, you said something?
I said they're luring some people in.
They're luring people, some people in? Yep, absolutely. It's a trap. It's a bait and switch. These are examples of that. So all of you are absolutely right in answering that. These are examples of bait and switch. So keep that in mind for a moment as we talk a little bit about the ministry of Jesus, all right? Jesus said, "Follow me." And we had this beautiful passage back in Ordinary Time in January, just last month, where Jesus is calling the disciples, right? So he says, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." So what do? They drop their nets, they leave their boats, they leave their families, they leave their livelihood, and they start following this guy they really don't know. Because they think he's going to offer them something that is exciting. Adventure, learning, meeting people, being somebody. "Follow me," he said a couple years later, "and you may end up losing your life." Sounds a little bit like bait and switch, doesn't it? Come on, Jesus, what are you thinking? Adventure was the bait. Adventure into real danger was the switch. Learning was the bait. Learning how to sidestep the religious laws that you always held dear was the switch. Meeting people was the bait. Meeting people who would challenge you out of your comfort zones was the switch. Being somebody was the bait. being somebody completely different from the person you used to be, being somebody who trudges around with Jesus for 3 years, being somebody whose former life becomes a mere memory, that's the switch. Jesus seems to have lured them, pardon the pun, with the fishing metaphor, when he showed them what he had to offer. But then he's also becoming very real with them, that what a life in following Jesus is all about is also challenging. There's a challenging side to following him. It's not going to be a cakewalk all the time. It's going to be a very intensive fishing trip. It's not like some of the fishing trips that I've been on, where it's really you go and you shoot the breeze, and if you catch anything, great, but if not, that's not really the point of the fishing trip after all. No, Jesus is serious. You're going to fish. You're really going to fish. They had expected fishing, not dying, happiness, not sacrifice, success, not ultimate failure. This is tough stuff. This is hard to hear. We love all the stories where Jesus is comforting us and giving us life, not losing it. Yet, there's some wisdom in this passage about life. You know, Jesus says something to the effect of, if you set out to gain life, you'll end up losing it. If you start out willing to lose your life, you will gain it. What? What's all this about? It's a hard teaching. It was for the original disciples 2,000 years ago, and it has been for every generation since. And as much as we would like to, it would be easy to take out, remove all of this cross business and all this sacrifice business, right? Let's take it out of the Jesus story. Let's take it out of our story of discipleship. But if we do, we really cheapen beyond belief the intent of God, which was always to be in deep, deep relationship with all of us and with all of creation, no matter how much it would cost and no matter what that meant. We all know that there's no life without sacrifice or loss, and the cross was God's way of joining us in doing just that, of experiencing life in its ugliest forms. So really, when the disciples signed on for a long fishing trip, they were just signing on to make their words and actions synchronized with those of Jesus. And that meant orienting their lives in such a way that they made themselves vulnerable to the needs of others. That's what it means to pick up your cross. And every time we make ourselves vulnerable to the needs of others, as Jesus did and the original disciples, each time we give of ourselves in love to another, each time we get out of our own way, and I get in my own way way too much, and seek not what we want, but what the world absolutely needs, we actually are picking up our cross and we become more fully alive. We are uplifted, and we experience the very glory of God. That's what Jesus means when he invites his disciples then and now to take up their cross and to follow him, because it's only those who are willing to lose their life, or I should say their false life, their false selves, the things that really don't matter in life, the parts of us that are selfish or self-focused, those are the things we are to die to, so that we can really, really live. When Jesus says, pick up your cross, it does not mean we go down the road of self-deprivation. This has been quoted by Christians way too much to encourage unhealthy behaviors. You know, we have some extremes, you know, where some Christians will sleep on a bed of nails, right? Because they need to show their love for Jesus, right? Or people have to change who God created them to be in order to follow Jesus, right? I think those are extreme examples. The intentionality is there, and if it's a really authentic experience, that's one thing. But for the most part, those things have led to really focus on yourself, not God, and not others, right? And picking up your cross does not mean that you have to ignore what you absolutely need in this life: love, dignity, and respect. So you're not asked to give up any of those things. Bearing your cross does not mean that you should simply deal with the realities of life. I've heard people say who contracted an illness, and then somebody tells them, well, Jesus says to pick up your cross. That's not what this means. Life is hard, and Jesus joins us in that suffering and in that reality. It doesn't mean that when you have a relationship problem or you're battling depression, that's picking up your cross. There's no justification here for enduring abusive relationships or tolerating injustice. Denying yourself does not mean being dismissive of discovering who God has uniquely made you who you are, to be truly who you are. Rather, I'm talking about the giving of ourselves in love, which of course is quite different than having others take from us or denying who we truly are. And that giving in love is always includes sacrifice, denying ourselves in a way that we're ignoring the not-so-healthy stuff, ignoring our desire for immediate gratification in order to meet another's needs. Some of us do this perhaps most naturally as parents, sacrificing all kinds of things in the hope that it will mean something in terms of providing for our children, or when we take care of aging parents. But we also do this as children, as friends, as partners, as neighbors, and more. And each time we do so, each time, that is, we call into question a momentary want of our own in order to satisfy a genuine need of someone else, we experience this picking up of the cross and the glory of true living that goes with it. So really, Jesus didn't do a bait and switch after all. It just looks like it. He did a bait and pitch, I think. All right, let me explain the bait and pitch. Because what he was promoting was a life beyond the superficial. And that oftentimes meant doing the unpleasant, digging into our souls, digging into our own lives to weed out what really is not life-giving for us and for the world. And there could be a whole list for me and for you of things that really don't help with that. That's what he was talking about. And as you come forward for communion, I invite you, there's a basket over here and a basket over there, to literally pick up a cross, all right? This is a little smaller than the one that Jesus had, I will say that, but it is symbolic. It is to be a reminder that God enters our human reality, that God is with us in our suffering and pain because God endured that on the cross, and that we too are to enter suffering and pain for the benefit of those around us, for the sake of others. It's also a symbol that we too find true life in this cross, that we find true life by denying parts of ourselves that, again, are not life-giving, but this is the way to true life and existence. And we will be blessed, and the whole world will be blessed as we continue to follow Jesus in the way of the cross. Amen.